for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, let every heart realize you are here. Let every ear hear you are speaking to us. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are ready. In Jesus' name, amen. In the past, I have a burden to share about the eternal purpose of God. We know when God created heaven and earth, there's a purpose in his heart. So if we look at the final two chapters in the Bible, we know that what's the will of God. And God revealed his heart, his work throughout the ages in 66 books in the Bible. So these are like puzzles. We read all these books, just like putting all the puzzles together, we can get a broad view. We can see what God is doing. So in the first book in Genesis, we talk about the will of God. What is the will of God? The tabernacle of God is with man. That is quoted from Revelation chapter 21. So in Genesis, what kind of man God wants? So in Genesis, we talk about 8 men. From Adam, we know that God gave man free will. God wants man to choose him, love him, fear him. But in Abel life, we can see that when he comes to God, we learn that Abel comes to God not by his work, but by offering the lamb. So it's not I, but Christ. And in Enoch, God walked with him. He walked with God. Just like in New Testament time, Jesus wants us to follow him. It's a relationship, not what you do, not how good you are, but a relationship with God. And in the fourth person, Noah, God wants us to tell us that we have to abide in Christ, just like Noah in the ark. And in the life of Abraham, we know that he was justified by his faith. And he received a son from God that represents Christ. And one day he offered Christ, offered his son on the altar. So not just we receive Christ in our life, in our life, we have to live out Christ and offer Christ. And in the life of Isaac, we see a son obey his father. And not just obeying his father, enjoys the father's blessing. And in the seventh person, Jacob, we see how his life was disciplined by God. His life changed, become Israel, the prince of God. So we can see God's hand in man. And Joseph, his life full of difficulties, trials. But through the trial, one day he came to the throne. So we can see what God is doing in man, what kind of man he wants to be with him in eternity. We should have all these courses passed in God's heart. If you are applying for a job qualification, what are the qualifications of man to be with God? Well, we should pass all this. So this is the will of God, in the heart of God. And then last time we come to the work of God. Now, we start to see God delivered. He called Abraham, and from Abraham he built up a nation. Now, but this nation was in Egypt. So God has to do something. The work of God is to redeem this people. It's a picture of us as well. God redeemed us from this world. So in Exodus, we see the first 14 chapter, how they are leaving the Egypt. So just like us today, how God delivered us from this, the power of the world, the flesh, and Satan. And remember, once they left Egypt, God led them to the Mount Sinai and gave them the law. The law speaks of God himself. So when man received the law, that is what God wants people, man, to be transformed by his words, to live a new life, sanctification. These people should be different from the people on the earth. And at the last part of Exodus, God told them to build a tabernacle. And that picture is today's God built up a body of Christ. Now, today we are going to start from that. Now, remember that how it ends in Exodus. They built a temple, a tabernacle. So, the story again, the third pieces of puzzle today we are looking at is the third book, the book of Leviticus. Now, the story comes to this stage as now there's a holy God dwell among men in the tabernacle. Imagine, God's tabernacle is just a few hundred meters from your tent. How should you live? A holy God among unholy men. So this is the, they have to learn how to come before God, how the way, how they should live, how they approach this holy God. So the book of Leviticus talks about the way to God. They have to live to be sanctified. This seems to be a difficult word, but they have to live a holy life in order to live with a holy God. So what does it mean by holy? Holy, if we think about this, is what was the opposite of holy? The opposite of holy is common. If you go to the park, park is a common place. Everyone can go there. But when you pass a certain place, there's a sign there, this is private property. No trespassing. You can't come in. This is not open for everyone. So we can compare common and holy. So when the Lord appeared to Moses, this is holy ground. That means this is not for everybody. This is special. So what's the meaning of holy? Holy means God is unique. Set apart from the rest. God is one and only. He is supreme. Different from all other gods. Different from everybody. He is the only God set apart. He is the special one. Holy means that. So not just God is holy, he wants us to be holy as well. So now let's look at a little bit about the this book, Leviticus. There are 27 chapters. I can't go into detail. I can only give you an outline regarding the way to a holy God and how to live a holy life. So if we can get these two main things, that's good. Okay, now let's think about a little more about this book, Leviticus. Let's go to the next step. The name of this book. The name of this book, we call it Leviticus in English, but in the Hebrew Bible, the first word means, and he called. And he called from where? From the tabernacle. So this setting is right from the beginning. God, once tabernacle is among the Israelites, God starts to speak to them. No longer in the high mountain and Mount Sinai. God is among them. And he speaks to them from that tabernacle. The second point we think about this, when was this Leviticus written? Now when they start have the Passover lamb, that's the first month, their calendar starts from there. And they travel to Mount Sinai 3 months. And at Mount Sinai, God gave them the law, the Ten Commandments. And also gave them the instruction how to build the tabernacle. So they spend 9 months, 1 year, to build the tabernacle. Once the tabernacle was built, and he called, and the Lord speaks to these people from the tabernacle. And within this period, 1 month, so Leviticus was in that 1 month period. And after that 1 month period, then they start their journey. So it's the book of Numbers. So in the second month, the 20th of the second month, they start their journey. So within that 1 month is the book of Leviticus. So God tell them everything. Now I'm dwelling with you, how you should behave, how we should camp. How you should live a holy life. Okay, so next step, there's a key verse. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So that's the meaning of sanctification. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You can't be lived like the Gentiles in this world. We always like to follow the world, follow the fashion of the world. We dare not to be different, but God called us to be different, to be a holy people. So if we go further down, the outline for this book, the simplest way to divide it into first 10 chapters, talking about sacrifice, talking about priesthood. So it's about worship, how we relate to God. And from chapter 11 to 27, talk about sanctification, how do they live a holy life. Let's go to... But sometimes when we read the book of Leviticus, we are confused. We have problem with all these details. We find it difficult to read because it's no longer like Genesis or Exodus. It's like not like narrative, not like story, but giving you details how to offer sacrifices. We got frustrated, we got confused. You may even stop at Leviticus when you read the Old Testament. But so what? How can we understand all this detail? What does it relate to us? So in Colossians and in Hebrews, it gives us some idea. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food. It talks about food in Leviticus, in chapter 11. And drink, or with regard to festivals, we're going to talk about that, chapter 23, all the feasts, or new moon, or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So we can understand all this because they are all shadow. They are not the real thing. Just like if I show you a model car, the model car can open the door, someone can put the headlights on some toy cars, isn't it? But you can't get in the car. But one day when you see a real car, you open the door, get inside. Now I know what it means to drive. Not playing with toy car, but when you sit inside, it's totally different. So the toy car or the shadow is just a shadow. But the substance belongs to Christ. So when we read Leviticus, it's just like a cold book. We have to understand it. When we know Christ, we can easier to understand it, to decode the book. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for since the law has but a shadow, all these laws in Leviticus, they are a shadow of the good things to come. Christ has come. Now we have the reality. Now we know what it is all about. Instead of the true form of these realities, these are the realities. Remember I talked about a toy car? When you sit in a real car, the reality. You can get in it. But the toy car, we can't get in it, isn't it? So it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. So even it talk about all the sacrifices, but that doesn't make man perfect until Christ comes. So with this in mind, now we can understand. Okay? Let's go start going to the first 10 chapters. It talks about worship. The first 7 chapters talk about offerings. There are 5 different types of offerings. And from chapter 8 to 10, it talks about the priesthood, how they put on, how they do have the ministry. So not just the sacrifices. You need someone to offer the sacrifices. The priest, how they dress themselves, how they have go through all the rituals in order to offer the sacrifices. So these are all about offering. So there are 5 offerings. I quickly go through them. There are burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering. So after all these years, those who study the Bible give us a lot of help. So you have no excuse. I don't understand. Well, use your phone. Type in. Lots of explanation will come to you. The burnt offering speaks of the consecration of Christ himself. He is totally holy for God. But there are some little details, bull, sheep, goat, a bird. Now, I won't go into these details, too much time. Perfection, grain offering. When we talk about grain offering, the grain, remember, the grain itself has no blood in it, isn't it? It's a grain, a wheat. Remember, a grain of wheat falls to the ground and it brings forth. Christ's life is like a wheat, a grain of wheat. One day he has to go through all the trials, become fine flour. and put oil in it when you... Oil means of the Holy Spirit. So all this are like you have to find the code. Frankincense is fragrant. Can you go back? It talks about the resurrected life. And no honey. Honey is a natural sweetness. No human good, but heavenly sweetness in the life of Christ. No leaven. Leaven speaks of sin. So you have to look at the New Testament. Oh, leaven means sin. So you can decode all these little rituals, little steps in all this offering. Peace offering fellowship. In Romans, in Ephesians, it talks about fellowship. Because of Christ, we have peace with God. Because of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Our peace refers to Gentiles and the Israelites. So when Christ is our peace offering, he makes peace between God and man, and man to man. So propitiation, he substitute for sinners, a trespass offering, atoning. They are quite alike, but sin offering is referring to the person, the sinner. So the liar, okay? When someone lies, he's a liar, so the sin offering is for the liar. But for the lies he told, atoning, the damage done by sin, is the trespass offering. So if I can say sin is for the liar, then trespass is for all the lies he told. Okay, all have to offer sacrifice before God. Okay, now these are the 10 chapters. Overview. We have, so all this offering speaks of the perfection of Christ. How great is that suffering? How great when he died on the cross, what he has achieved, done for us. Now we go to the next. Sanctification, the holy life. There are laws concerning all this. Now I quickly go through it. Now when we go to chapter 11, clean foods, it has a list of what animals you can eat, what animals you can't eat. For example, animals that can chew the cud, that means, for example, a cow, they chew the grass, go into the stomach, and then regurgitate. It comes back to the mouth, chew again. This regurgitate, this chewing the cud. And if the same word goes in the book of the first Psalm, blessed is he who meditates God's word. The meditates is just let the same word regurgitate. So what is the true meaning of food is the life that meditates God's words. So it's not the, don't analyze the protein, don't analyze the DNA. It's not about that. It's a picture of what kind of life. The life that feeds on God's words. Cloven hoof. The cloven hoof means when the animal walks on the ground, when you look at the mark on the ground, there is a split hoof. Just like on the cow or the sheep, when they walk, you can see their hoofs on the ground is not just one, like a horse. Not a cat, but they have split hoofs, cloven hoof. Okay, that means they walk differently because separation. They walk differently. So now we know clean food refers to, not normally people when we think of food, how to cook it, how to make it taste nice. No, that's the wrong idea. What goes into your life will affect you. Not the food taken, but what kind of ideas or mind go into your mind and then go into your heart. That will corrupt us. So brothers and sisters, beware of what you watch, what you hear. When that goes into your mind, remember how Satan tempts Eve, something goes to her mind, and then tempts her heart. And then she told herself that, maybe I should have taken that. So she sinned, using her body to sin. So everything starts maybe from the mind and then to the heart. So today, when we read this, we have to think about what goes into your mind and into your heart. Beware what you study in university today. Lots of ideas, lots of theories that may change your mind about God himself. That may corrupt you, unclean. True wisdom based on the fear of the Lord. Man's wisdom, be careful, unclean. No matter how good that is. Now, that talks about food. Now, childbirth, I have to go on. Childbirth is unclean? Why? We congratulate people, oh, good, you got a boy, you got a girl. But in God's sense, when we remember in Genesis, when man multiplied, wickedness was great. Sinners give birth to sinners, more sinners, so it's unclean. So God tells us, out from our true nature, sinners, coming out from us is sin. Sinners bring forth sinners. If you think of our behaviors, if, for example, if you lie, people seeing that you lie, they imitate you. You brought out more liars, isn't it? So in a way, you are giving birth. You are set a bad example. If you are a bad role model, many people do bad things because of you. You are giving birth to sinners, unclean. Okay? So beware today if we say we are God's people. Be careful how you speak. Be careful your behavior among non-Christians. If we jump to skin diseases, it talks about a lot of skin diseases, all the scab, raw flesh, sore, leprosy. It's a, in a way, it's a defect of our body, isn't it? It appears on our skin. It can be, so we can think of sin, all different kinds of sin, maybe greed, maybe stealing, cheating, all this. Notice, leprosy is not just there. Oh, I'm sorry I speak some mean words to you. Maybe it becomes more, it develops, spreading. You tell lie one on Monday, and then you tell two lies on Tuesday. Maybe on at the end of the week, you tell 100 lies. Spreading like leprosy. So beware of your life, knowing that our life, our natural life, Adam's life will always go to unclean before the Lord. All these skin diseases. And then in chapter 14, it talks about cleansing of the leprosy. And then discharge of men and women. A woman, it may talk about the flow of blood. Or in men, it may be semen or all kinds of sickness from the body. So all coming out from our body. But not in a proper sense. So that means you are wasting your life, your energy, your blood on something. In today's term, you may be addicted to something. You are wasting your energy. You are wasting your whole life on something, not bearing fruit. So this discharge speaks of the weakness in man. Beware, how are you addicted to something? Was that thing draw away all your time, your energy? Are you addicted? Not a holy life. Then there's a day of the atonement. On that day, there will be two goats. One goat die, the other called the scapegoat will take the sin into the wilderness. That's also a picture of Christ, how he delivered us from sin. Now, if we jump to chapter 17, it talks about location of sacrifice. You can't sacrifice in anywhere you like. You must follow God's way. The Lord says, for example, we have to gather in his name. Oh, it's too much. I can worship God in my own way. Notice, location of sacrifice. When you worship the Lord, it can't be your own way, at your own time, in your own method. One place. We have to know God is different. At that time, the Gentiles, they can worship God anywhere they like. They can build God in any form they like. They can build on the mountaintop. They can build in the valley. They can build the idols next to a brook or something. They can worship their God at their convenience. But our God is not like that. You have to follow him. You may need to travel. Imagine when the temple is in Jerusalem, if you live 5 kilometer from Jerusalem is fine. Going to worship God is no problem. But if you live 50 kilometers away from Jerusalem, you have to travel 50 kilometers to come to worship God. And you have to travel 50 kilometers back to your home. Wow, you pay a dear price, isn't it? But that's the way God wants it. You may feel it's easy for you. You just live next door. It's easy for you to come to Auburn. You just live down the corner. But I have to drive a long way. Sometimes we can't worship God only for our own convenience. Well, too much now. I have to move on. And at that chapter 17, it talks about we can't eat blood. So, at that time, Old Testament time, you can't eat blood. But very strangely, at the time of Jesus, the Lord told us, this is my cup, this is my blood, drink it. So in God's heart, no blood is good enough. No life is good enough because the life is in the blood. No other form of life should be your life in God's mind. Only Christ's life should be our life. He only wants us to drink that blood. Let his life come into my life. So it speaks of God's heart as well. In chapter 18, it describes all kinds of sexual sins among the Gentiles. What immoral generation that is. But today, we may feel the same thing we can see. So are we having a proper relationship with opposite sex? Is that a holy relationship? If you say, we are God's people, then how do you treat a female or a male and opposite sex? Is it appropriate? Let me jump to another part. Social laws. If you read that chapter, it talks many different laws. It talks about when you reap the harvest, leave the corners. Leave the corners for the poor or the strangers. When you're gleaning the vineyard, leave the corners for the poor. You shouldn't set a stumbling block before the blind. You shouldn't curse the deaf. So all this shows these people have mercy. These people have kindness. These people have justice. It talks about using just balances and weights. No cheating. Don't rob. Don't steal. So these people are holy people. If people can really keep the law, it would be heaven. If we live among people like that, this is good. Imagine if there's a place, no government, no policeman, no order. Would you like to live there? People all can do whatever they want. This is horrible, just like hell. But out on this earth surface, there is a people. They care about one another. They show mercy. They show kindness. They help one another. These are holy people. These are sanctified people. They live differently. What a glorious testimony on earth. We go to chapter 20. The Lord told them, what are the penalties of breaking the rules, worshipping idols, cursing parents, all the sexual sins. There are penalties. So there are consequences among holy people. They are disciplined in the church. If God does not discipline, we may say, God allowed this. God is happy with people sinning. No, there must be discipline. There must be penalties. Chapter 21, 22 talk about priesthood. It talks about how their marriage, if you are a priest, you are chosen to serve God. You can't just follow the world. You have to follow God's way. You have to keep yourself from anything that's related to death, except is your close relative. And if you are a priest, if you are blind, if you are lame, if you are dwarf, all this, you can't be a part in the ministry. But are we spiritually blind? Can you really see God when you read Bible, when you come to the meeting? Can you see God's working among us? If you can't, you can't really serve God as a priest. Are you spiritually lame? Can you walk God's walk? If you just come and listen to the teaching, but you can't walk in your daily life, that's lame. That's spiritually, that means you can't walk the talk. Are you dwarf? Not growing, but remain at a certain age. You have been Christian for so many years, and you are just a spiritually dwarf. Are we the holy people? Are we having a healthy spiritual life? Let's go to chapter 23 then. Before we go there, there are a few verses reminding the people, do not make yourself unclean by any of these things, for by all these the nations I'm driving out before you, you have become unclean. So that God wants to have a clean people among unclean nations, to be a testimony, to let the whole world know they have a holy God, to draw people to come to this holy God. So not just in the Old Testament time, in New Testament time today, we should live a holy life so that the world will know that we are different and they will be drawn to come to know this holy God. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my rules and do them, that the land where I'm bringing you to live may not vomit you out, and you shall not walk in the customs of the nations. So often we want to follow the world. Oh, my classmates are doing that. They are all going. They are all doing that. So why shouldn't I be the same? We want to identify with the world. That's our problem. Are we there to be different from this world? They did all these things, and therefore I detested them. You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the people that you should be mine. So God wants Israelites to be among the nations. God wants them to live a holy life, to show the world what a holy God is. Because all the other gods are not holy. So we come to chapter 23. Seven feasts. So God has this seven feasts, if you follow their, read them, the first feast is Passover. It's in the first month, the 14th of the first month, the Passover. Remember the Passover lamb? Remember the day, our Lord, the death of Christ, he was killed after the Passover. And then unleavened bread, there are a week from the 15th to 21st. There's unleavened bread, and within that week, they can't have anything that is made of leavened. That means they have to live a holy, redeemed life. So this also applies to us. When we accepted Christ, we should live an unleavened bread life. Unleavened. Our life should not be contaminated by sin. And then on the first fruit, it's on the 16th of the first month. Remember that Jesus rose on the third day. So resurrection of Christ. And then after, remember in the books of Acts of the Apostles, and at Pentecost, the church formed as the third month, the sixth of the third month. So there are 50 days from the third and to the fourth, from first fruit to the Pentecost, there are 50 days. So that's why Pent means Pentecost. And then there will be a big gap until the Feast of the Trumpet. And on that day, the seventh month, the first. Now notice, this is not our July, okay? The seventh month in the Jewish calendar, okay? And that day they will blow the trumpet. That refers to Christ's return to reign. And the 10th is the Day of Atonement. So Israel's, they regret, they have the whole Israelites repent. Repentance of Israel, because they have nailed Christ. Then they, on that day, they realize Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So on that day. So, and then they entered on the Feast of Tabernacle. It speaks of the kingdom, of God's rule among them. So there's the whole year, God has a calendar. What does it mean? It means God has a plan before us, and our life has to follow that calendar. How about your life today? Are you following God's work? If you are Israelites, it doesn't mean that you are free on the fourth, fifth, or the sixth month. You have to prepare. You have to work, labor, to grow, and God, then you have harvest, and then you can celebrate on the on the day of Tabernacle. Then you can have something to celebrate. That means your whole year, all your work has to plan your... If I ask you, hey, how about we go to somewhere to have a holiday? Sorry, I can't go. The first month that I have set that time apart for my God. The Lord wants to tell his people, I have my plan for you. All your life, all your days on earth, not just on holiday, you are preparing for my feast. Are you preparing? Are we preparing for the feast of our Lord? How do we spend our days? Chapter 24. Chapter 24, suddenly it goes back to tell about how the priest go inside the holy place to administer at the lamb and the showbread. This is because when you are outside at the court, people can see you, the sacrifice, but when you go into the holy place, nobody can see you. So in my mind, I think, oh, how about so-called we have devotion time or quiet time before the Lord? When you come before the Lord, I wonder how many of us have quiet time before the Lord every day. The bread and the showbread and the lamb. Talks about your inner relationship, your spiritual life. Do you have a quiet time before the Lord every day? Or you just spend all your days with your friends or families? Do you ever come before God in private? And there's some, after that, it talks about if someone blaspheme about the name of God, and there are some men doing something wrong as well. So think about your life. Have you in any way offending God or offending men? If you have offending your brothers, is this a holy life? Not at all. And chapter 25, Sabbath year. Every seventh, you work 6 years, the seventh year is the Sabbath year. Then you can't work in the ground. Let that year, all it grows out, will be given to the poor. And then you must have faith. We work and then we rest in faith. How we live our days on earth is not very tense. But we can enjoy, we can have peace before God. And at the year of Jubilee, oh, this is very interesting. You should go and read it yourself. At the 50th year, the Lord will provide all your food. You can't harvest the ground. And when you lost your property, at the 50th year, it will go back to you. You can redeem it. As if, actually, I shouldn't use redeem. That property will go back to you. Or if you are a slave, you will be set free. That's why it's called the year of liberty. So there will be a new change. They are expecting that. But unfortunately, the Israelites never really observed that. So in chapter 26, it talks about obedience and disobedience. What are the consequences? How God will bless you or curse will come down upon you. But God made a promise. If you return, people can go back to him. Promise. God made a promise. If we returned, we can restore relationship with God. In chapter 27, now, the Lord has done so much, but how about you? Would you like to consecrate your life to God? Would you like to, yes, God wants to make you holy, but would you set apart yourself to become holy for him? This is entirely voluntary. Knowing God's how great he is, would you separate your life, loving God whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, whole strength? Separate yourself for God. Consecration of person, you can consecrate animals, what you have, your houses, your fields, and you even give something back to God yourself. Now, I want to look about a little bit more about the consecration of the person. God, when we look at the next page, there's a table there. The table, that means when if you are a male between 20 to 60 years old, there's a valuation by a vow. That means that person, 20 to 60 years old, the male worth 50 shekels before the Lord. But if you're younger, 30. Over 60, 15. Under 5 years old, 5 shekels. So you can see there's a prime time. So when you look at it, you ask yourself, which category I am in? Oh, I'm near the margin now. Okay. So that means a certain part of your life is more valuable. You don't serve the God until, I'm 80, if my whole life is 90 years old. Oh, Lord, I give myself to you when I'm 89 years old. 1 year. Not so much value. God can't use you much. So, give yourself to God, and it's the best time of your life. Don't worry about the male or the female difference, okay? Females has a chance. Stronger or weaker, doesn't matter. Now, so we see how we roughly have a big picture of what a holy life means. Now I'm going to read another verse in 1 Peter. But as he who calls you is holy, you also. Now this is New Testament. Peter, the apostle, written his writing to the church. You also be holy in all your conduct. We should be holy in our conduct. Oh, we are justified by faith. We don't have to worry about our works. We don't have to worry about how I speak, how I walk, how I follow the world. Oh, Jesus' blood cover me. Sorry. That's not what it says here. You also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So the Lord has not changed. He wants holy people. We are better than the Israelites because we have received a holy life, Christ in us. This life drives us, help us. Holy Spirit, help us to live a holy life before him. So I'm going to quickly talk about 13 questions asking you. Are you living a holy life? Question one. What are you taking in daily? What goes into your mind? All the ideas, wisdom, are we following the fashion of this world? In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, it says, whatever it is good, whatever it is noble, just and pure, meditate on it. What are you thinking most of the time in your days? The drama, work, money, what occupies your mind? Are you holy? Second question, are we alert what comes out from our life? Mean words? Bad behavior? Are we showing mercy? Are we showing kindness to others? When we realize there are some defects or sin in our life, greed, are we dealing with it? Or we let the greed keeps on growing. One day we cheat, one day we lie, one day we steal. Are we let sin having a foothold in our life, let it spreading in our life? Am I addicted to something that wastes my life, my strength, and my energy? Am I worship God according to His will? Am I taking Christ's life as my life? Have I chosen to walk with Him? Am I having a pure relationship with opposite sex? Am I showing kindness and mercy and justice in my daily life and walk? Am I spiritually healthy? Am I spiritually blind? Can I walk spiritually, or am I just a lame person? With a broken foot, with a broken hand, hunchback, all this dwarf, am I a spiritually healthy, fit priest to serve God? Am I having my life living according to God's plan? Or always I have my own plan. I go my own way, have my own holiday. I'm not talking about you can't have holiday. I'm talking about you are living your life away from God's plan. Are we having a good spiritual relationship before the Lord? Do you care about your quiet time before the Lord each day? You are living before men. Do I work? Do I rest and find peace in God? Do I have to worry? Do I obey God? Do I consecrate the best time in my life to God today? So this is the holy life that can apply to us. Think about this. Not because we are saved, then we can live an unholy life. We should live a holy life, because this is the will of God. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, I'm going to pray after 30 seconds, but within these 30 seconds, I let you pray in your heart to God what you hear. I let you respond to God what you hear from Him. And then I'll conclude with a prayer. Okay, let's bow down our head. Holy God, as we come before You, this is our prayer. Help us to live an unclean life. Help us to live a holy life. Help us to live a sanctified life for You, so that we are not like the people who do not know You. Let Your holiness shine in Your church, Lord, as You are holy. We commit ourselves before You. Help us to change our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In conclusion, can we sing 90? How lovely is Your dwelling place? How lovely is Your dwelling place, Almighty God. God is holy.
That's all we have time for this morning, and thank God for Paul's message. So hopefully next time when you come in to read Leviticus, you won't find it too daunting. It would be good to listen again, Paul's message, and give you some ideas of how to get into that book. Youth camp, tomorrow is the deadline, okay? So if you haven't yet registered for the youth camp, tomorrow is the last day, okay? So just if you are coming, those who are in high school, I encourage you to come. You'll be in Mount Victoria. It's a beautiful place where you can see kangaroos hopping around. And they're going to have some exciting activities this time at the youth camp. So please come and be able to blessed by God in that camp. Many people have done a lot of work in the background, so it will make that camp a worthwhile experience for you. So, yeah, all the details on there, and if you want to register, it's very easy. Just use your phone or talk to your parents. Those who are in high school, is everyone needing a permission form? Yeah. And those under 18 will need to submit a permission form from your parents as well. We encourage you those to stay back for morning tea. Today won't be at the park because of the weather, so it will be at the deck. So there will be still plenty of goodies on the table. So let's enjoy them and talk to one another over morning tea. See you next time.